This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. There is a lot to chat about at the top of this show, right? There is a lot, isn't there? There's a lot to dissect and uncover. Yeah. Firstly, it didn't come home.
I know. I mean, I think everyone's just feeling a little bit flat.
I'm also just absolutely aghast at the way those three very young black players are now being treated.
Do you know what, though? I think... Yes, we need to talk about that stuff. And yes, it is absolutely disgusting. But I think we should just be overtly praising and proud of the whole team.
Like, of course.
You know, this whole European Championship. Is it European Championship? Is that what they call it? Tournament? Yeah. European tournament. Like, the way it has lifted our nation and Europe and... Given the last 18 months, 2 years that people have lived through, it's just been amazing to be a fan of, a supporter of, and to watch our men just be incredible throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just to get to the final. All I kept thinking was, do you know what? Whatever the outcome, obviously, it would have been amazing if we'd won. I was really hoping that we'd win. But just to get to the final, I think, is incredible.
Also, I saw this thing that just said, just to put it into perspective, before you write your racist slurs, Saka is 19. What were you doing at 19, Steve?
Yeah.
Steve, what were you doing at 19, Steve?
What are you doing at 45, Steve?
Steve,
For fuck's sake.
Also, I just think, for me, I'm like, all of those lads, every single person in that squad has done amazingly well. Italy are a great football team and are unbeaten in however many games they've been unbeaten.
34 games.
There you go. The whole thing. But one thing I do just have to say here, because I feel so deeply passionate about it, is Marcus Rashford fought so that children didn't have empty bellies.
Exactly.
What he did on that football pitch with that ball last night is bollocks to me. He made sure children of this country had food, actually physically had food to eat when they wouldn't have. What? And these twats that are now giving, you know, racist slurs would be the same dickheads that would have had their names tattooed on their bums last night if they'd have won. You know, they'd have been the same dickheads that would have gone off and tattooed Rashford's name on their ass. And you just think, like, It is just abhorrent that we are still here having, you and I, having this conversation about something that should have been dead and buried. The colour of your skin does not define how well you take a penalty, guys, just so you're aware.
No. and also, like, let's just focus on, like you said about, you know, Rashford and all the amazing stuff he has done off the football pitch, alongside numerous other players that go about doing things that maybe people don't ever know about. You know, it's all things they do behind the scenes that they don't want to have. And I just think, let's focus on
absolutely
the amazing characters and people that they are, whether they're on a football pitch or off it, just celebrate the whole damn amazingness of these young men. Which is just
and we'll
incredible.
Win the World Cup.
Exactly.
Find the funny. This conversation next year on Finding the Funny will be it's come home, and it will have come home from the whole world, not just from you.
We are going. It's coming home from Qatar.
We are going to win the World Cup. Anyway, it's very funny when you watch football with Ange, because she talks a lot about the fact that she's the crowd need to be the 12th man. And last night we were saying, so Gareth, look, I know you listen. I've had it on the record.
Confirmed.
You're a massive fan of Finding the Funny. So for the World Cup, take Ange out. She can be your 12th man. If you've ever seen her at Laurel Park, the mighty Laurel Park.
Honestly, I am the 12th man. And last night I was the 12th man sitting in my house in my lounge.
I was
12th man, 12th woman.
She just keeps, every so often, she's just like, it'll be a bit silent. It'll just hear Ange, come on, lads. Yeah. Come on, lads. You've got this.
You've got this, lads. Don't worry about it. Let's just go. Come on, boys. Let's go. If anyone ever sees me pitch side at Laurel Park cheering on my boy, then you know what I'm on about. I really am incredible.
Well, look, well done, England. We're so proud of you.
So proud. So proud
of everything you did, everything you stand for, on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it went to Rome, but, you know, here we come. Qatar. World Cup.
22.
We're coming for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we?
I think we should move very swiftly on to la 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 big questions.
Take it down now and give me the big questions. Give me the first big question. Yeah.
First question, yes, is in through from Eileen on Gram. And Eileen, just very, very straight question from Eileen. How do you feel about electric scooters?
Wankers.
Really? I like them.
Oh, God. They're like a silent assassin. I think when you're driving, I was driving the other day and one literally zipped up. You know, they're not supposed to go on the road. Well, this absolute twat did.
Yeah.
Zipped up, didn't even hear. I mean, he didn't have a helmet or anything. I didn't even hear it until he was like gone past me. I think they are like silent assassins. Take your legs out any minute. What do you like about them, though? What is it you like about them?
I just think they're... I've never been on one. I'd love to go on one.
Can you imagine me on one?
I mean, no. Let's not ever go there, Pat.
Do you think I'd fall off?
Yes. Of course you'd fall off.
Also, I just want to say straight up, I should have said this at the beginning, a polls for my voice this morning and for what my laugh will be. It's going to be incredibly squeaky because I've shouted too much over the past week, essentially.
Yes, yes. Patty's done a lot of shouting.
Well, yeah, because we were fortunate enough to go to the semi-finals at Wembley, and I screamed there. Then we had the podcast awards on Saturday, which we didn't talk about in general chat. Andrew and I went to the podcast awards. Yeah. It was great fun.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of, you know, chatting and cheering and all of that there.
Not
and
really
then
obviously shouting, though. Really shouting,
I was. I was shouting left, right and centre. I was just going up to people shouting in their face.
You go squeaky voice. Where I go Deirdre Barlow or Deirdre Rashid.
I go up. I go up, you go down.
Yeah, I go very, you know, deep, very, you know.
Into the depths.
I go very depths. Yeah.
Whereas I tend to go squeak.
You go real squeak. Yeah.
But what do you like about electric scooters?
I just think they would be great fun. I love the idea of just being able to jump on a scooter and it just whizzes you around.
Wouldn't you be terrified, though?
No. I mean, I probably would to start with, and I'd have to really go careful, take it easy initially. But I think once I've got the hang of it, that's it. That's it.
You'd be zipping all over the place.
Oh, there's Anne zooming around.
Why don't you get one?
Wow. I mean, really, they're not the most practical, are they?
Why?
Really? Well, like, you know, what, you can only literally zoom on them to, like, I don't know, go to the post office or go to the... Is it like you could go, no, I've got to travel to Devon, I'm going to take my scooter.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, obviously, you'd need a car as well. But for the, like, round town, little village shop massive, that could be quite cool, I think.
Do you think you can get ones with, like, baskets on? Like you can with bikes.
Oh, what? Like, so you can put your shopping
so
in it?
You can do a little, a little sort of, you know, if you've got a pop mini to the shop. Old Waitaroa's.
Or M&S.
Yeah, Waitaroa / M&S. You could just zip around, little basket on there.
Well, I think for you, it could be a game changer.
Do you?
Because I think of the time that you would claw back. No sitting in traffic. If you just had to zip to the shops, you could literally get on it, zip, 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 zip.
Yeah.
Bob in, get your stuff, zip, 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 zip. And you'd you'd literally be passing a load of wankers stuck in traffic, flicking them the V's, going,
see, get yourself a scooter.
Look at me on my silent assassin.
Yeah.
Although, I'd love to see you on one of those.
Although I do think there's an element of laziness to them, isn't there?
Why?
Well, because you could walk.
Oh, I mean, piss off.
Yeah, well, you just don't like walking anywhere, Pat, so...
Do you want to tell the story after Wembley? I did have a go at Ange and tell people she'd tell this story. And the night ended. Oh, God. We should tell it, shouldn't we? We should tell it because it is quite funny.
Right. So, as you're aware, guys, we were very fortunate to go to the semi-final of England v... Who's that? Denmark.
Croatia. Denmark.
Yeah. So we were very fortunate to go. Obviously, when you go to Wembley and there's a massive bloody game on, your car, and also it's just to add, we also had a car. So, you know, we didn't have to worry about getting on trains and, you know, we were very fortunate. We had the whole shebang. So we get the car up there.
Oh, God. And obviously I can't believe I'm letting you tell this story.
I can't. I mean, I wasn't going to go there, but you went there. I know you were. So,
listen, anything for the lols. Anything for the lols.
So, we get there. The car can only go so far because obviously they shut roads off. They don't allow you to. So our driver says, right, I'm going to drop you here. Great. We then had to obviously find our way up to the stadium. I reckon it was like, I don't know, 10-minute walk to the stadium.
He could have got closer though, couldn't he? Well, let's just put it out there from the outside.
Let's just,
he got
all Pat's kept saying was, right? So we're 2 minutes into the walk up there. Pat's is like, I mean, he could have got further. He could have got us further. Why did he leave us there? We've got to walk a long way now. And I'm like, Pat's is like 10 minutes, mate. Right?
Oh God, I'm such a twack.
So anyway, we get there. Then we have to walk what feels like pretty much the whole way around Wembley.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, I didn't really mind that, but that was
you
a massive
mind
walk,
that.
Isn't it?
You kept saying, "We're going the wrong way."
No, but I wasn't like, I just thought, oh, are we going the wrong way around? I was fine with that. That bit was fine, but it
she
was a
fine
massive
with
walk.
That. She was fine.
Yeah,
with
I
that
was
bit.
Fine with that bit.
Anyway,
no, So
we get there, we watch the match, have a great bloody time. Obviously, it goes to extra time, so it's quite late by the time we're leaving. Then you've got the whole shebang of trying to find your driver and your car, right? So we start walking. We're with Mal and Marks, and we're concerned that they get their car, you know,
elderly.
So we make sure they're good. And then we're like, I'm like, right, Pat's our guy's down this way. So we start walking. Bear in mind, Pat's is obviously tired. She's now carrying 3 bags.
Two of which are rucksacks, which is annoying.
She's literally Russell walking along with her two.
Yeah,
rucksacks.
I'm double Russell. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to another episode, an earlier episode, where I'm calling Russell from Up.
Yeah, the little boy from Up. So Pat's is walking along. She's got her 2 rucksacks, another bag. She's sweating her ass off, right? And she's like, where is this car? Where is, like, what? And we've been walking for ages now. Where is this car? I'm like, it's down here. We've got to get to third way, second way, and then our cars are there. So she's coming along. Then we have like a bit of a, you know, there's a bit of a downhill, bit of an uphill, bit of a, then she's like, I'm actually quite a fast walker. Pats, I mean, you're quite slow, aren't you?
Right, this has become nasty now. This is getting into fucking nasty territory. I've allowed you to tell this story and you're hamming it up to the 8th degree. You're like, not only does she look like Russell, like a complete twat, she's sweating her ass off. She's also shit at walking. I'm like, let's pick on Rudy. Sure, but let's pick on Patty. You don't need to go there, Ange.
The funniest thing was, right, so we get to the road where the cars are, right? And I'm like, oh, they're just up here. She goes, well, he can just drive down here now.
Guilty as charged, officer.
I would say no more than 1 minute just up the road is the cars. And she says, I'm calling my man. He can come down here and get me.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's just up there. She's like, no, I'm done now. And then her passing comment was, yeah. And you know, don't tell everyone about the way I was walking.
No,
how slow
so what?
I was.
No,
and
so
then
what
you
happened was
it on here.
Okay, so as we were walking around the corner, Ange looks back and starts laughing at me. Actually, full on laughing at me, right? So she turns around and she sees me like basically struggling. The way to respond to that, to a Patty that is already really hot, now in a bit of a mood, really tired, she decides to laugh at me, which instantly gets my back up. And yeah, all I think is, Ange will do anything for a funny story. She likes telling a funny story. I can see when we get together for the final, she'll be like, guys, you'll never guess what Pat's was like when we were walking back from that. I could hear her saying it. I could hear her like in a jovial, like poking at me, but in a kind way, saying to everyone, you should have seen Patty walking back from that bloody game. You should have seen Patty. I mean, she was really struggling. Like she's done on here. She's a slow walker.
It was
she was sweating her ass off. So we're waiting for our cars. My guy's there. I'm waiting for Angie's guy to come down. And I'm really pissed off at this point. So I'm like, she's fucking laughed at me. She's found this funny. She's going to tell everybody else who will also find it funny. So I said, don't tell anyone about my walk back from the stadium. Don't you dare tell anyone. And Andrew's like, I wouldn't. I'm thinking, you fucking would.
And actually, anyway, I haven't until now.
And I've got over myself now. I can see how it could have been funny.
Yeah.
At the time, at like 10 to 12 at night, I was like, I'm done with this.
Right,
I am done with this now.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't mind a walk, but that was a lot of walking. That was a lot of walking. So I would have liked it. In response to Eileen on the ground, I would have given anything for an electric scooter that day.
Yeah, oh, God,
that
would have
been perfect.
Yeah.
I'd have got out of the car and the geezer would have been like, it's all right, we've got you covered, we've got electric scooters, and I'd scooted up to the stadium.
Maybe they'll start doing that.
Well, that's what they should do, I think.
Yeah, but then where do you put your scooter?
Well, we were in a box, so you just put it in the... in the box. We were in a box, weren't we?
Yeah, but, you know, scoot not everyone's going to have that luxury, are they, Pats?
Scoot round Wembley, get to your box, scoot back down, scoot to your car. Absolutely bloody perfect.
And that's what I mean by the laziness.
Oh, God, I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Because one of the points I made to Pats was during her moany whinge, because there's a couple of points where she stopped because she had to move her bags around, switch her rucksack.
Those fucking bags didn't help, to be honest. I felt like a pack horse.
And, I can't remember what I was going to say now.
A couple of times you said, think about your steps.
That's right,
That's what we were going to say.
Just think about the steps you've got in today. So
just
I do
think steppage.
As much as I like the idea of the electric scooter, I am like, will it just become another kind of reason for people not to take
a walk? Bloody Podcast Awards. There was a walk up to them, wasn't there?
There was, mate. Yeah, that was that was a chuffing walk. That was, yeah.
Yeah, walk up that bloody hill.
Yeah. So,
anyway, I think they're like silent assassins, Eileen. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Well, I like them. I think they're probably quite fun, but I do question the whole kind of, you know, the health implications.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Ange, what's been getting on your shitting tits?
So, this has been, it's another one of those, it's bothered me for a little while.
Right.
And I've kind of not talked about it, but it's gotten to the point now where I'm like, I've got to talk about it. I've got to share the stuff that's really getting on my tits. Yeah. So the thing that gets on my shitting tits is celebrities, mainly in the US of A, but I feel it's infiltrating us now, which actually pisses me off even more. But celebrities who are throwing ridiculous parties for their 6-year-old kids.
Haven't we done this?
No, we have not done this. We've done the whole Halloween vibe.
Okay.
You know, dressing up your house for a shitting Halloween or Christmas or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah.
Have you seen of recent Cardi B? The party she has thrown... for Culture.
What's her kid called?
Culture.
Culture.
With a K. The girl is called Culture with a K.
Culture B.
Culture B. Well, she's probably... Because who's the geezer she's with? The guy from Migos.
But yeah, she's probably got his...
She's probably got his surname, whatever that is. But yeah, let's call her Culture B because she's Cardi
Culture
B's. Culture B, right? I think she's recently turned 3. 3 years of age, right? And she has thrown the most ridiculous party for this the girl was in a carriage. No, she was on a horse. She was on a horse dressed in this massive pink gown, right? On a horse. The Migos guy, the dad, was stood by her on the horse, leading her through this like fucking... arches of shitting balloons, arches of them, literally like a tunnel, like probably the distance of like the Euro tunnel, right? Through these arches out to this like basically castle that's got real life Disney princesses that are like in boxes, like they're toys. honestly, it's the weirdest. What? Yeah, it was just weird. And then it just got me on to, like, you know, Kim K, Khloe K, the Kardashians. She's done one recently for her daughter, True.
Well, you're saying it's infiltrating here. I don't know if you saw the party that Rochelle and Marvin Humes threw for Aaliyah.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Like, ridiculous.
They, like, apparently they're like, is she seven? Six or seven?
Yeah, yeah.
She's massively into, like, California for some reason. Yeah. She's never been, but she's obsessed with California, which I find weird in itself. Yeah.
Well, you know where that's coming from.
For a child, the age of, like, six to be obsessed. Like,
obsessed.
Rochelle actually said she is obsessed with California.
Yeah.
And so they did, like, a Beverly Hills Hotel themed party. Yeah.
It was basically Aaliyah. Like, is that how you say her name? Aaliyah?
I think it's either Aaliyah or Aaliyah. I can't remember. Aaliyah May, I think it is.
It was all Aaliyah Hills, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, everywhere. And then, like, a big rose wall. Yeah. They have people making cocktails.
Yeah.
The party bags, the food, the amount of food for, like, 12, 6-year-old kids. Yeah.
Exactly.
And because I saw all the food and I thought, oh, that must be for the adults as well. No, she then took a massive picture of the platters of food for the adults that were there as well.
Yeah. Oh, like, and it, because she was on my list. Cardi B, Kim K, Khloe K, Rochelle Humes.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I mean, it is just ridiculous. Like,
I'll tell you what it is, Ange. I'll tell you what it is. It's obscene.
It is. That is it, Pat. it is obscene.
It is unnecessary. Yeah. Also, you think, like, so you take, let's take Culture B, as an example.
Yeah.
She's had a horse, she's had the balloons.
Yeah.
What? I mean, obviously, Sweet 16 in America is a massive birthday. Oh, it always has been.
Hell.
And MTV obviously did that show, My Sweet 16. Phenomenal show. Loved it. Yeah. Amazing. What the hell? They've got nothing left now, have they? They've put her on a horse. They've given her a castle. Yeah,
I know.
I mean, what the hell is her Sweet 16 going to be like?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? She's three and she's had all this shit. What, I mean, what even, let's not even get to 16. What happens when she's four?
You know what her Sweet 16 will be? It'll be like a load of men, you know, like this. I watched one of those, My Sweet 16, on MTV, and this girl was basically carried in by four men.
Hunks.
Hunks, basically, next to nothing on one of those big, like, what looks like a magic carpet thing. Yeah. You know, she,
like,
was sat on the top
type
of it.
Thing.
Yeah, and she was paraded in around everybody while the girls cried. There were girls at her party crying, going, oh, my God, she just looks so amazing. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, honestly, this whole shebang with Culture B was, I mean, I was watching it in utter disbelief. Like,
and thing is, she won't have a fucking clue what's going on, will she?
No. Well, half of the time I'm looking at Culture and she's literally, like, glazed over.
Yeah.
She's like, what the hell's going on? I'm on a horse. I'm in a big pink dress. There's balloons everywhere. There's women dressed up as princesses looking like they're toys, but they're real. I mean, it's just like, it was fucking with my mind.
Yeah. And you're not three.
Exactly.
You're not three and you weren't there.
No.
Like,
and I think it's been a big thing in the US of A for a long time. And I think it's another one of the, you know, it's like the whole Halloween shit. It is infiltrating. Yeah. It's infiltrating our people. And there are people also becoming massive dicks. And I do have a massive problem with that.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I agree. I think as well, it's just like it's just not necessary, is it?
Mm.
Just have a little low key, have your mates round, get some nice presents.
I mean, they're three or four or six or seven. Like, you just don't need to be doing it.
No.
Have a cake, have a few friends round, maybe have a bouncy castle. That's it. That's all you need. You don't need to be sticking around with horses and carriages and bloody Beverly Hills shit.
I know. It's also that is irrelevant to the likes of Cardi B, isn't it? But also, it's not about the kid at that stage, is it?
That, do you know what, Pats? You have just nailed that there. You've nailed it. It's all about as parents, what you yeah. are doing and what it yeah. looks
it's
like. Yeah,
it becomes a pissing contest. Yeah. Becomes a pissing contest, basically. Yeah. Who can piss up the wall the highest and make it look like they love their kid?
Yeah, well, today like, it's Cardi.
Yeah, and it, and it's like, actually, Cardi, that doesn't show me that you really love your child. It just shows me you've got loads of money to throw at it, which is a completely different scenario.
Yeah.
Anyway, good. That's a good shitting. I'm with you. I it is obscene.
Obscene. And disgusting.
Disgusting.
And disgusting.
Anyway, let's do some, should we do some dickish behaviour?
Yes, mate. Let's do it.
So we had a message from Kimberly on the gram and she gave us a great dickish behaviour, I think. She said, people who block the aisle in the supermarket to have a chat.
I mean that it is dickish, but I am and have been.
You will have been one of those fuckers. Yeah. I don't think I've ever done that. No, I haven't.
Bollocks.
I haven't.
That I'm is telling you now. Bollocks.
I am telling you now, out and out, 100%. I've never done that. I'm always
You've
like, oh, let's move out the way
into someone in a supermarket.
And you know what I do?
Started chatting and not realised you were in the way.
I get right out of the way.
Just on your own.
What? I talk to myself.
No, but you get in the way.
Oh, right. Oh, God, you're being a right bitch today. I nearly dropped the C-bomb. I actually genuinely nearly dropped the C-bomb. You're being a right bitch today. In the words of Pam, you're being a right mardy ass today, Michael.
Mardy ass. I actually think, right, because I have done it. And I've been irritated by other people doing it. So I get all that.
Yeah.
But I actually think the way around this is that supermarkets should have like a little chatting area.
They do. It's called a cafe.
No, I don't mean like in the cafe. I mean, so you're going round, the tins. You're in the tins aisle, right? Your tins and jars,
tins,
right?
Tins! Where tins. Are you from? Doncaster.
Tins. We're in tins.
You're your tins.
All right. You bump into Sandra. You haven't seen Sandra in a while.
Sandra.
COVID shit, you know. So you're like,
well, because of the pandemic.
Because
of the pandemic.
Exactly. You haven't seen Sandra in a very long time. So you, wow, Sandra, hi.
Yeah.
How are you doing? You know, it's been a long time. How's everything? Then you're like, okay, this could potentially go on for a good 10 minutes, this chat. Let's just pop to the little lay-by just up the road by the bread to have a little chat. And I think if supermarkets created areas... Pat's just took
I
a gulp
took a swing of ring at the wrong point. Labour.
You know, like a little labour.
Supermarket labour.
Yes. I honestly think this is the key. I think supermarkets could actually win people over with their lay-bys.
Really?
Like, yeah. Because if I could go to a supermarket, if I knew my waiter Lois had a couple of lay-bys, I'd choose to go there over your Tesco,
right? Because you think if I bump into Sandra, I can bob into a lay-by and have a chat.
I know. There's a couple of lay-bys, one by the bread, one by the I don't know the drinks, one by the, you know. You have a couple of little lay-by meeting points
just
for those moments.
Around.
Yeah, where you bump into Sandra, Jeff, Caroline, Tracy, whoever.
Do you know the worst shot? Do you know the worst shot to do a bump into somebody because it just you can't help but block everything? Is your Lidl and your Aldi's.
Oh, yeah, forget it.
Because they're so small anyway. I mean, if you're just walking past somebody down one of those aisles, it's like, oh, sorry, mate, sorry, yeah, sorry, no, you're in the way. No, oh, sorry, no, if you step there, oh, God, sorry. Oh, someone else has come down now. Shit, there's three of us in one tiny space.
There always seems, I mean, they are permanently putting shit out in Aldi and Lidl.
Oh, God,
I mean,
all the time.
There are crates of shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Do they ever stop? Do you think it's like a 24/7 setup? There's someone there
putting shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crates are so massive. It's like that crate is nearly the size of half of this shop. that crate that you're trying to manoeuvre without catching the back of somebody's legs is almost the size of half of this shop.
Yeah. Yeah. That they are.
I spoke to my friend Michelle on the phone this morning before this record, and she opened by saying to me, I've got to tell someone this. I'm pleased you rang. I'm exceptionally proud of myself. I have just done the best packing I've ever done in Lidl.
Wow.
Did not miss a beat. Said I actually got a sweat on doing it because I kept up with the woman doing the bibbing.
That is
and
impressive.
I was just she said there wasn't a single thing waiting. She just was like, I was just on it.
Wow.
And she said, I'm so proud of myself.
Shell, you absolutely should be proud, mate. That is a massive achievement today.
Yeah, I think you should get some kind of sticker or something as you leave the store if you manage to do that.
Or like the whole checkout, like, you know, there's a big old bell and confetti goes off.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Like, oh yeah, big, yeah, yeah, you could ring the bell.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Michelle on aisle 4 has just completed the packing. Yeah.
And then you could get a badge that says, I conquered the checkout.
Yeah, I conquered Lidl's. And survived.
But yeah, that is annoying. And I think the lay-by idea, Ange, is a good idea. Your little chat lay-bys.
I think I'm onto something there. You know, obviously, if any of your high-brand supermarkets are listening,
I'm
more than happy to help formulate a lay-by setup.
And if you want to, sponsor Finding the Funny in the Process, we're open to that as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we do talk a lot about Waitrose.
We do.
Waitrose. You know, we could be your people.
We could. Yeah.
Okay, so we had a dickish behaviour in from Kat on Gram, and Kat says, "People who think their kids are angels." When actually, they're dicks.
Yeah, this one is phenomenal from Kat.
Yeah, yeah. I have definitely come across this a lot.
Oh, God. Like, just admit, it's okay, parents, to say this little person in front of me is 50% the best thing I've ever met and 50% complete wanker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a fine opinion to have of your child.
it really is, and actually very accurate.
Very accurate.
Yeah,
50% the most amazing human being that's walked this earth. 50% utter twat.
Yes.
Also, the thing that I find that gets on my tits when it comes to parents with kids, right? You're having a conversation. You may be at a party. You're at a small gathering. There's kids around. You're having a conversation. You're halfway through. And then they're like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know. No, Jacob, get down off there. Get down. Sorry, it's like this all the time. I'll come back to you in a second. Get down, Jacob. He's going to fall if I don't. Get down. So you just stand there. You're like, yeah, okay. And then you carry on. And they're like, oh, yeah, got that. Jessica. Sorry, I'm so sorry that I'm doing this again. Jessica, if you put that in your mouth. No, Jessica, and you're just stood there like, do you know what? Go and chill out with Jessica and Jacob because
I'm gonna
this
leave.
Is now just annoying. It's just annoying.
It really is, You like, can't have a conversation.
Either have a conversation. Yeah, either have a conversation with me or go and fucking deal with your kids. Don't
Jake
be one fit in both camps. Yeah. Jacob and Jessica, because it's not going to work.
It is, and also just think there are so many parents that do think that their kids don't do anything wrong.
Oh, God.
And it's like, do you know what? They do. They can be absolute pricks a lot of the time.
And do you know why they do? Because we're human beings, and every human being, doesn't matter how old you are, every human being is a prick.
Like,
we're all walking around a lot of the time being dickheads. And the quicker we own that and we realise that even our children are also dickheads, the better society will be.
Yeah. I mean, I have it quite often of a morning. I mean, not so much now because Joel's finished college now. But Joel, you know, he's obviously now classed as an adult. He's 18. He's absolutely not an adult. In fact, I think a lot of the time he's actually still 8. And on the college days, right?
Yeah.
I would be hollering up from downstairs. So he would have to leave the house by around 8:30 to get to college for 9, right?
Yeah.
8 o'clock, he's still in his pit. Bearing in mind, I've been hollering from probably about 7:45, literally shouting his name. Joel, get up. You've got to go.
Joel.
And the amount of times I'd holler, Joel! And then literally I'd go, he's such a prick. I had to like vent my frustration. Yeah. And then Nella would be around. She goes, did you just call him a prick, Mum? Yes, I did. Because he's being an absolute prick this morning. And he's driving around the bend. And he is acting like he's 8. not 18. So I think,
and don't worry, Ellen, you'll do something later and I'll mutter under my breath, "You're such a prick."
Exactly. She knows that. She knows that I'm going to say that about her.
Yeah.
So I just think, I know that about my own, and you need to know that about your own, and stop making out that they are these perfect little angels, because they are bloody not.
They're not.
Just like we're not.
Yeah, exactly. I also think as well, it's like, it's okay. You can still love somebody with the whole, like, I mean, obviously we don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like, but I love Matthew with every part of me. I love you with every part of me. I love mum and dad with every part of me. I love Jay. Like, there are, I mean, I suppose Joel and Ellen are the closest thing that I've got. And yes. I absolutely love the bones of them. I'd walk barefoot to London and back. I would do anything for them.
I mean, that's saying something given Wednesday.
For me, that is saying something. but, there are times where I look at them and think, "You're being a right prick."
Yeah, exactly.
And that doesn't mean I don't love them. No, that doesn't mean I love them any less.
No.
So look, guys, if you've got kids, it's okay. I also, there was this, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Hurrah for Gin, this account on Instagram. And she talks very openly about her kids, you know, that they're the most amazing thing she does. And she did, I don't know whether it was a post or a story, but when her kids were younger and they started having tantrums, they would just start, not in earshot, but they'd just say to their friends, "I know he's being a right wanker at the moment, isn't he? I know he's such a wanker." Like, look at him rolling around on the floor. What a dickhead. She just started sort of openly owning it.
Yeah.
That when they behaved like that, it's like, you can roll your eyes. I know he's a twat. He's being a twat. It's fine.
He's my
twat. It's totally fine. So, don't go there. Now, I requested this don't go there, didn't I?
You did, Paz. I mean, it was quite a...
Yeah.
I was quite shocked by this request, to be honest.
Were you?
Yes.
We should probably say what we're going to talk about, shouldn't we? And then I'll ask you why.
Let's say it, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I'm having a midlife crisis.
Right, so hence my shock. And I'm now wanting to know why you think this is happening to you.
Well, I've noticed that since I turned 39, like, I've never really had an issue with getting older. I've always, you know, you and I have often had conversations, haven't we? And you've said, I can't believe I'm going to be such and such age next birthday. And I've always been like, it's such a privilege to get there. Lots of people don't make it. You know, we've had people in our own family that haven't made it to certain ages, and it's desperately sad. And I've always counted getting old as a bit of a privilege. And I think, it's just a number. And I've always been pretty measured about getting older.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've always been able to sort of say, come on, it's just a number, it doesn't mean anything. When I turned 39, I was just like, well, this is shit.
Yeah. That's exactly how I was.
And exactly since I turned 39, like 2 months ago, I've just been like, this is all fucking shit.
Yeah.
So I Googled, I mean, Brené Brown has written a brilliant, I think I sent this to you, Ange, but she's written a brilliant blog post. She calls it the midlife unraveling.
Yes. Yep.
Rather than the crisis.
Yeah.
And I think unraveling is a sort of better use
phrase.
Of words than crisis, really.
Yeah. Crisis.
But anyway, I was so like, I've sort of held quite a lot of this in because I do still think it's a privilege that I'm here at 39 and I hope I make 40 and that is, but I've sort of kept quite a lot of this under wraps, which is unusual for me because I am quite a sharer, especially with people that are very close to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for some reason I found this really difficult to talk about. Mm. So I Googled midlife crisis and there was a list of things that came up, and I ticked 5 out of the 2, 4, 6, 8 criteria.
Okay, yeah.
So the top one is feeling unfulfilled in life. Since I turned 39, I have felt so unfulfilled with the life that I've got.
Yeah.
Like, I just am like, where have those last 39 years gone? Yeah. Where have they gone? Intense feelings of nostalgia and chronic reminiscing about the past. I have not been able to stop thinking about my late teens to like mid-20s. Just that desire to be back
to
there.
Back
and
there.
Part of me, I'm like, God, I hated, like, I'm in such a better place now in terms of I feel more together, but just to be back there, not knowing what was waiting for me, not knowing what Yeah, and also not knowing what shit was going to come our way. Like,
yeah.
Not just feeling much more carefree about life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feelings of boredom, emptiness, and meaninglessness, that has been chronic for me. I have felt so bored with my life since I turned 39. Dramatic changes in behaviour and appearance. So there hasn't been that, but I have become more obsessed with my appearance than I ever have in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
And I think your response to that shows that is so not me.
Yeah, totally not you.
I know.
I don't think I've ever heard you ever say that, ever.
I know. I have become so bothered and impacted by my appearance, and that is so not like me.
Yeah.
I know. It's weird. It's very weird. Constantly comparing oneself to others who seem happier and more fulfilled, and intense feelings of regret. There are a couple of others in there that I don't fit, but I basically went through them and I ticked them and I was like, God, there is some real shit going on for me.
And it is I do think I really struggled with turning 40. As you know, I really did. I had these like just. And so many of the things you sort of mentioned there, I had these moments of just going, what the fuck? I'm hitting 40. What do I actually have to show for this 40 years of life?
Yeah.
And and I hadn't felt like that about any other age. I turned 30, it didn't really bother me at all.
Same.
Turning 40 just absolutely really played with my head, really impacted me in those exact ways that you're talking about. And I don't think there are many people that don't hit that sort of age, that sort of milestone, that don't feel the things that you're feeling now.
Yeah.
I really do. Some people, it will never bother them, whatever age they are. They can turn 40, 50, 60, you know, it just doesn't worry them. But I think most people would say that hitting those kind of really big ages of, like, I think 40 plus, like, I'm already thinking about the fact that I'm now on the other side of 40, that I'm actually nearer to 50 than I am 40.
Yeah.
And that already is starting to kind of play on my mind again a little bit. So I think it's actually quite natural. I think it's quite a natural point to get to. I think it's quite natural for you to sort of have a little bit of a re-evaluation of where you're at. And I actually don't ever think it's a bad thing. I really don't. As much as it probably does evoke maybe some feelings and emotions that you maybe don't particularly like or want to look at, I actually think it's not a bad thing to just kind of take a bit of stock of where you are in your life, what you are happy with, maybe what you're not happy with, things that you might want to say, do you know what? I want to make my 40th year different, or I'm going to do some stuff in my 40th year. I'm going to change some things. And I think you're right in the sense that the word crisis, it makes it sound like you're falling apart. And actually, I don't think that is the case. I just think it's a point in your life that you're able to just go, okay, I'm hitting 40. Yeah. Yes, that is a huge privilege, like you say. So many people don't get there. So I think it is that element of actually it's a privilege, but I think it is a point in your life where you can just evaluate things. Have a look at your life and where you're at.
I also think in my whole life I have massively underestimated the feeling that nostalgia can give you. I've never appreciated how much there can nostalgia, you can be happy with you. And this isn't about me being unhappy with my life here and now. It's about the nostalgia of what it was before.
Yeah.
And I think part of that comes with the trauma that perhaps I've experienced, you know, Ruth back in her mid-20s, or Ruth even turning 30, didn't know what the next 9 years were going to bring.
Look like,
And was pretty carefree and had experienced some difficult things, but on the whole, and I think the sort of the nostalgic longing of what those years were has been so ever present since the 6th of May of this year when I turned 39. And I think the biggest thing for me that it's done is I never ever expected a birthday or a number that is on a sheet or a box that I tick with what age bracket are you in would have such a profound impact on me. And it genuinely is. Like, I do feel like I am having a bit of an unraveling, not a crisis. I'm definitely not in crisis, and I'm still functioning, and I'm still doing my day job, and I'm still having fun, and I'm still, but there is this undercurrent of like, what are the next 40 years going to look like for you, Ruth? What are the next 10 years going to look like? What are the next 20 years? What do you really want? Like, what do you want your life to look like? How do you want it to go? What do you want to do? What do you want to make happen? What do you want to leave behind? It's like also another massive question. And as somebody who has always taken everything in her stride pretty much, especially when it comes to age, and I think the one that has really, really impacted me is the one that you said really too, which is the appearance thing. I've never had an issue with my appearance ever in my life. I can absolutely handle my heart, even when I was bullied at school for being fat or whatever. I've never, but the last 2 months I have become so acutely aware of what I look like, and whether I actually really like it, and that is a very odd new place for me to be.
Definitely.
And I don't really know how I feel about it.
But so. I think what you've got to do, Paz, is allow that stuff to come to the surface. Allow it to like make you think. Allow it to make you question some things. And you know, I don't think you should be frightened of that. Yes, it's something you've never really felt before. Yes, it's a new thought or process for you. But I think I don't think that, and I think you've just got to, you have got to say, okay, this is bothering me now. It never has in my last 39 years. Fine, but actually, right now is, and I need to sort of have a think about that. And maybe there are some things I need to kind of change, or I want to change, or.
Yeah.
And I think you should I think you should look at it in a positive way if you can. And I think you've just got to kind of embrace the point that you're finding yourself in, and know that I've definitely been there. I will probably be there again when I start nearing 50. I think most people will totally get where you are and how you're feeling. And just embrace all these things, all these changes and thoughts that you're having, and go with it, and know that actually, and one thing I will say to you is that I think what you are feeling and experiencing now, I was exactly the same, and lots of other people will be. The actual turning 40 didn't bother me at all.
No.
It's so weird how you kind of, your brain and your mind takes over, because you're like, shit, I'm 39. Shit, this isn't right in my life. Or I want to change it. When it actually came to the point of the 30th of November turning 40, it was a completely different space I was in. So I would just embrace it. Embrace whatever this unraveling is.
Yeah.
And
ride the wave.
And let's just see where 40-year-old Patty is.
Let's see
what
happens.
Yeah,
let's
do it, Geezer.
Anyway, look, if you've got any feelings of like midlife unravelings, or you did have when you got to this age, obviously we'll keep you anonymous, but Ange and I would love to hear from you. There's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. I'm at Ruth Corden on Instagram.
And I'm at Ange Corden on Instagram. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast, or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
And also, don't forget, if you love this podcast, it would mean the world to us if you could rate, review, and follow or subscribe wherever you listen. It has a real impact on numbers and people who can find us, and algorithms and stuff like that. So if you haven't gone and rated us or reviewed us or whatever, we would absolutely love it if you could. But this is our last episode this season, isn't it?
Season.
The next 2 weeks season are going to be best bits. Season two is in the bag. Woo. So we will, next week and the week after, are going to be those best bits that you want to rehear again, the stuff that's made you laugh. If you've got any bits that you you can think of, let us know. We'd love to know them.
Any episodes in this last season two that you have loved, or bits of episodes that you've loved and found funny or resonated with you, if it's some of the sort of serious parts of it as well. We like to kind of put a lot in there. So any of those things of season two, let us know, because we'd love to kind of get your thoughts and your input into those best bit episodes.
So the next 2 weeks will be best bits. Go and listen to those. Make sure you re-listen to those bits that really made you laugh. We're then taking a 2 week break, so we won't be around for a couple of weeks after that. But we'll be back really soon with season three, helping you to find more of the funny.